Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern, custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
Running an online business is hard enough without the stress and time consumption of managing hosting. Whether managing one WordPress site or dozens, Kinsta's managed solutions offer speed, enterprise-grade security, and an intuitive dashboard. With 24/7, 365 human-only expert support, get peace of mind that your sites stay online, secure, and performing their best. Start today and get your first month free with migrations handled for you. Learn more at kinsta.com/podcast. That's kinsta.com/podcast.
You're listening to Talk of Champions, an Ole Miss Spirit podcast with Ben Garrett.
Hello again, friends, and welcome inside the Riverland Roofing Studios, at least for me. The little house up top is Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs. Riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. This is another edition of Talk of Champions. I'm Ben Garrett at Spirit Ben on X Twitter. He's Zach Berry at Zach_Berry. We both write for the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, an affiliate of On3. And if you sign up today, you can get your first week for as low as $1. So come join us at the Ole Miss Spirit. We'd love to have you in the new year. Big things happening. 2024 was the greatest year of my life personally and professionally, only to be surpassed by 2025, and we want you a part of it at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of On3. Zachary, how we doing?
What's up, buddy? Doing well?
Yeah?
Getting ready for – seems like a lot of people are having some weather issues that are either ongoing or on the way.
Oh, yeah. Here in New Albany, Mississippi, we first had a tornado warning – and then we had freezing warning. We had some snow that very night, like 3 in the morning that very night. Now it didn't stick or anything for the kids and Honey to get out of going back to school, unfortunately. But we did get a little bit. Weather's been a little crazy, man. This it's been kind of, for me at least, a hard year to get started. I'm struggling with motivation, if you will. You know, after the Gator Bowl, I did the Gator Bowl Talk of Champions. Kind of touched on everything that had happened, what we saw, equal parts exhilarating and frustrating, which was a perfect, in my opinion, encapsulation of Ole Miss football in 2024-25. But give me some juice. Give me some juice for 2025, not the dog, not Lane Kiffin's dog. Give me something that gasses me up, and maybe other Ole Miss fans who are going back to work, who are getting back into school. It's all back. Started again, and yet there's no football to look forward to on a college football Saturday. It's a months-long journey now until Ole Miss football returns. And Ole Miss basketball rebounded in a big way, beating Georgia in its SEC opener, rebounding from that loss to Memphis, a blowout loss to Memphis at Memphis. Memphis started a run of 7 quad one opportunities in its next 8 games for Ole Miss. So basketball is pushing for the NCAA tournament. Hadn't made there in 5 years, only 9 times in the 100-year history of Ole Miss basketball. We're going to be there. I'm going to start doing more live streams. Zach and I are going to be doing Twitch streams. There's so much we're going to be doing this new year. But for those of us who are struggling to get off the snide, if you will, give me some juice, man. Gas me up this morning. Help me get off, get out of this rut I'm in.
Yeah, well, first of all, Ole Miss is continuing to talk to big-time prospects in the portal. On3 released a graphic this morning, as we record this on Tuesday, January 7th, of the top available prospects in the portal. And if you look at this list of top 10 prospects, you've got at least 1, 2, 3, 4 out of the 10 are either down to a couple teams and Ole Miss, or have already taken visits and are seriously considering Ole Miss. So, everybody is still doing the what's going on. Why aren't there any commits happening? Why, you know, I get it. Everybody wants the excitement, and it's a very, you know, what have you done for me lately type culture and business. But I mean, guys, it's January 7th. There's plenty of time for portal action to happen. You've got some guys that are still mulling over whether they want to stick around at their school or not. There's probably going to be some dudes that go through at least some kind of spring conditioning, you know, workouts before making a decision. Some will do spring practice and then we'll make a decision. And then you've also got four teams still playing, Ben. So it's a lot of talented dudes that are in the college football playoff that are potentially going to become available. But right now, Ole Miss has the number two transfer portal class in the country and are poised to add some more. And not just some bodies. I mean, they're looking to add some legitimate top 10, top 15, top 20 prospect firepower. And maybe a little on top of that, little, you know, layer upon layer here, Ben. Some of the latest mock drafts have Walter Nolan and Trey Amos in there. You've got some with Princely. Guess what? All three of those one-year transfer guys.
Mm.
That's a sales pitch right there. So a lot of these dudes that looking to go somewhere else, looking to play Power Four football, looking to play SEC football. And if it's just 1 year, look at Ole Miss, man. They're about to probably put three guys in the first, 65 picks that were first-year transfers. So that's what you should be excited about. I think that, I did the piece a couple weeks ago, maybe it was last week. Time does not exist on Christmas break, but I wrote about it. And the last couple cycles, Ole Miss has been active after the new year. So, it's not like, well, we didn't get everybody in December, it's over. Like, no, there's plenty of time, and there's going to be some that go into the spring. Like I said, there's going to be some that go into the summer. You remember way back when, Ulysses Bentley, he was a summer guy. So it's not just a December, January thing. So I get it. People want to get excited about commitments, and I understand, and you see all these other schools that are getting commitments, and why isn't Ole Miss doing this? And so just everybody take a breath and get excited, because I do think that, like I said, Ole Miss has a plan, and look, it's worked the last couple of years with the transfer portal. So just trust the process, as Joel Embiid would say.
I will take that. I will take that juice, that gassing up. You know what? That's a good point. The NFL is year round, even when they're out of season. And now college football is very much year round. And Ole Miss baseball and basketball will take us through, but it can only take you so far. Ole Miss football, however, will be roster building every single month, essentially leading up to August camp. So developments every single day. We'll be covering them at the Ole Miss Spirit, omspirit.com, and affiliate of all three, as Lane Kiffin now tries to put together another title contender for Ole Miss. And it is notable that since the advent of the transfer portal, Ole Miss has finished no lower than third. So you don't question the process. You understand the results, because the results have been there. Still work to get done. But, yeah, that kind of gave me the pick-me-up I needed to start 2025. I've been delayed. It's January 7th, and yet I'm like, man, a whole nother start. There was this. I think we all get this seasonal depression around this time. Christmas is over. It's that little, purgatory in between Christmas and New Year's. Then New Year's happens, and you're just waiting. You're waiting for another year to pick up and get going. You forget that life is supposed to be spent just with your family and hanging out and doing the fun things that you want to do and loving your peoples. But that was what I needed. So give me where things are right now then. Because if you look around, I think the first place to start is this. I recorded yesterday a solo pod by myself, and I didn't like how it turned out. So I was like, I'll do something with Zach tomorrow instead. I plan to do – that just shows where my brain's been since the new year started. my plan was to do at least four shows a week, if not one every single day. So I will get back into it. This is the start of it. I won't scrap the ones that I don't like anymore just because it's nonsense. But one thing that I thought needed to be touched on yesterday that I didn't release to the masses that now we can talk about and talk about more in detail here together, Aiden Williams and Narrelle White both get into the portal. Now, Aiden Williams was not a surprise. I was actually asked by On3 to submit a list of guys who I thought were real candidates to get into the portal or hearing from sources. Aiden was at the very top of that list. Now, it's still unfortunate because he was a top 100 prospect, number two in the state, only behind Centurion Perkins, and now he's gone. He only had 119 yards in 2 years, never lived up to that freshman preseason camp performance that got everybody so excited about Aiden Williams. But so that one wasn't a surprise. Narrelle White was more of a surprise just because, yeah, he didn't play a lot, but the room and signing him as a four-star and what he could be in year two, they were hoping for that kind of year two leap from him or someone of his ilk, similar to Caden Lee. So he's gone. What does it mean for where the room stands today, where the room's going to be tomorrow, the future of the room? What was your take, or having now had some time to digest and see what Ole Miss's strategy is, what's kind of the biggest takeaway for you, for Ole Miss fans, to know about Aiden and Narrelle getting in the portal and where wide receiver recruiting specifically currently stands?
Yeah, I think it's a lot of belief in the young dudes that they have already that are already contributing. With, you mentioned Caden Lee, I think that the staff is clearly excited about Caleb Cunningham. And I think this 25 class, Ben, with what they're bringing in, I think that there's a lot of excitement. And it's not like they're all going to all of a sudden make noise, you know, right when they get on campus. But I do think you're going to have a really good nucleus, a young nucleus of guys at that position. Winston Watkins Jr., I think, is a potential breakout guy. Not saying he's going to come in and grab, you know, 60 balls in his first year, but I think they expect him to, you know, make some noise. And then I really like Samari Reed, the wide receiver out of Monarch High School in Florida. Did a little bit of everything, played some running back, played some safety, played some wide receiver. He did everything for his high school. Big physical guy, 6'2", 6'3", close to 200 pounds. I think that's the kind of dude, I believe I put it on the board, and maybe some recency bias here, Ben, but he kind of reminds me of like a souped up Dontario Drummond. Just like a crafty, you know, route runner. He's not going to blow you away with some home run speed, but he's fast enough. But, you know, Drummond was used a lot in those pop passes and stuff behind the line. I think they could do that with Reed. And then people forget about Dylan Alfred. Really, really polished wide receiver for a young guy. Just kind of got lost in the shuffle because he had the knee injury as a senior. So he didn't play a lot. But that's somebody that has been really good everywhere he's been. You know, started his, you know, high school career in Goshen before transferring over to Saraland. So I like the young dudes that they have right now that are coming in. And yeah, I mean, sure, you want Caleb Cunningham to come in and be elite. I don't know if he's going to be Jeremiah Smith, but I think he's going to be. It's a good toolkit to work with. It's a good skill set to start to polish. So George McDonald's going to have fun with that. And yeah, I think that's big. You know, I just mentioned McDonald, the turnover with the wide receiver coach. You know, Derek Nix was at Ole Miss forever. He leaves. George McDonald comes in. So a change in, you know, philosophy, scheme, style, whatever. The Aiden Williams thing wasn't a surprise. I had heard rumblings for the last year. It was kind of this year was, you know, kind of this year or bust for him. And he just couldn't ever put it together. And, you know, it's a shame. Aiden's a hell of a dude. Great kid. Always good with us. Always good with any media member I ever talk to, anybody that's with us with On3 or any other, you know, competitor site. They always rave about him as a kid. Same with Narrelle. you know, he was, you know, he talked to us that day. It was a tough situation for him. It was a hard decision. He really liked Arkansas. He really liked Sam Pittman. And, you know, he struggled with it. And he was a professional as a teenager. I don't know if I could say the same about me at 16, 17, Ben. But, yeah, both are really, really good dudes. And they'll be all right. You know, they're going to find somewhere that fits them. But, you know, it's just tough when, you know, your clock starts, Ben. You know, you get to college and then, you know, you gotta either start earning it and getting some reps and getting on the field, or you gotta go somewhere else. And that's just kind of how it is now. So I don't think it's anything Ole Miss did wrong or they did wrong. You know, sometimes stuff just doesn't work out. I mean, there's guys everywhere getting in the portal that were 4 or 5 star dudes that, you know, it's not that maybe they're not as good as everybody thought they were. I don't think that's the case. I think they're both super talented, but sometimes it's just fit, man. Like, you know, you gotta be happy where you are. And sometimes guys just, you know, they're not happy, and probably because they're not playing, obviously that sucks. You know, I don't play college football, but I'm competitive. I wouldn't like that. So you can't blame them. They want to go somewhere that they can get on the field and have some fun playing football, because that's what they want to do. So I don't think this is all doom and gloom. Caleb Odom, hello, 5-star coming in. You know, kind of like a Kevin Lacy, not super proven, doesn't have a lot of you know, mileage on the tires, but a lot to like from that skill set. And then I don't think people realize just how talented Dejon Stribling is. I mean, come on. Oklahoma State was garbage this year, and he was just going off. And he was dealing with, you know, different quarterbacks. And I think there's a lot to like there with him. And I'm excited to see what George McDonald does with him. Deuce Alexander from Wake Forest, another crafty slot guy. And with the, you know, departure of Juice Wells, as Chuck reported on Monday, it's even more paramount for these guys to click and to get in the spring and learn the system. So it's a bummer. You know, you want the high school guys. I know a lot of people, you know, pulls at the heartstrings that they're from Mississippi. But they'll be okay, and Ole Miss will be okay. You just gotta keep plugging along and adding more.
But it does legitimately, I think, raise the issue of, as Zach tells his children to chill, I do think it does raise the legitimate question of high school development of high school players, specifically wide receivers, under Lane Kiffin for now going on 6 years. This isn't the first time that a highly ranked high school kid came in and didn't make an impact and then left. Barry and Brown's another example, former 4-star. Jeremiah Dillon's another example of that. Larry Sanders is another example of that. There's so many guys, in-state guys specifically, like Dillon, like Larry Sanders. I think that's what his name was, Larry Sanders. Larry Simmons. Ah, see, I'm so bad at names. Larry Simmons. There are many cases of in-state guys like that that had the recruiting pedigree, came in with all this fanfare, helped with the recruiting ranking coming out of high school, only to not contribute and to transfer out later. So I do think there is a legitimate developmental question to be asked here about high school wide receivers specifically, but less about that for me than looking forward to next year. Who replaces these guys? Well, production-wise, you're not replacing anything. Juice Wells was more at whether or not he actually went pro, accepted his East-West Shrine Bowl invitation, goes pro, or the rumors that he's wanting to come back, or they were negotiating. There was some negotiation and talks about him potentially coming back. But just like with Chris Poupall, more fanciful than in reality for what the reality is, because Chris Poupall, unlike Juice, is a top 2-round pick. Juice more, it's about, like you said, the clock has done been started for our man Juice for the NFL, just like the clock is getting a little late for Aiden Williams, not necessarily for Nereal White in terms of getting on the field. The only reason why Aiden waited and didn't get in until after the Gator Bowl is because he wanted to finish out with his teammates in the Gator Bowl. And I think the response from his teammates like Sonny P on social media has been a good representation of how much of a valued teammate and friend Aiden Williams was. I am curious, though, if they've done enough, if they will do more. They've got some targets out there that they're considering. the transfer from West Virginia. I've heard a little bit about the transfer from Georgia kick returner that might be a good Micah Davis, not necessarily replacement, improvement over Micah Davis. Like, there's a lot that they could do.
Not a running back, wide receiver.
Wide receiver, not a running back, but developmentally, do you think
what I did there? See the joke that I made there?
I saw the joke. I saw the joke. I don't think anyone's
made that joke yet, but I made it.
I am moving past my Ulysses Bentley obsession here. And now, and kind of curious what you think about this question mark in regards to high school talent developmentally, specifically a wide receiver under Lane Kiffin not getting on the field. Is there something to that in your opinion? And if there is, what's the fix?
Kind of twofold here. I've asked around. This summer I was at the symposium, you know, tons of college football staffers, coaches, recruiting guys. And, you know, I'm not a scout. I'm not a coach. So I ask other people to get their opinion. And I asked this question specifically to a lot of guys, SEC, Pac-12, Big Ten. There were guys from everywhere. I asked them. I was like, hey, you know, what's the deal? Like, do you think there's any specific reason? Is this a Lane Kiffin problem? And the answer I got was kind of both. I wouldn't call it a problem with Kiffin. I think Kiffin just kind of treats things like a professional organization. And, you know, sometimes rookies are really good in the NFL. And sometimes they can put up big numbers. We're seeing it this year with all the rookies and setting their receptions record. But the one thing that was interesting to me, I got a lot of the same response in terms of the high school football in Mississippi and how a lot of these guys just, they don't really know, you know, schemes. They don't really know coverages. They don't really have a legitimate route tree. Because look, Aiden Williams didn't need a route tree in high school. He was the best player out there. So, I mean, to the coach's credit, at Ridgeland, they're just like, hey, we're just going to just get him the ball. So just go out there and just get open. You know, honestly, it's kind of like a Phil Longo type deal. A lot of these guys, you know, they don't really need to run routes because they're just better than everybody. But that's something that I think holds guys back at times. Just there's not a ton of development at the high school level. And that's not to say that there are bad coaches in Mississippi. I'm not saying that. It's just a lot of times these guys come to college and they're learning like legitimate square one. Like it is, you know, wide receiver 101 type stuff where there are guys other places that are far more developed and kind of know the deal already. I think it's slowly shifting because you're seeing a lot of the private coaches, a lot of the 7-on-7 teams are run by former players and former coaches that can actually teach. Like I'm a firm believer that 7-on-7 is beneficial and it's good. I know a lot of people think it's dumb and it's not real football, blah, 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 but you can get a lot out of it. But yeah, I mean, I think it's a combination of, you know, Lane Kiffin, we've seen it though. He doesn't care if you're a freshman. If you can play, you can play. So that's what I kind of tell people. Like if you're a freshman and you're not on the field, that's a sign that the coaches can't trust you and they don't believe that you can get out there and make the plays. Again, that's not to say that Aiden Williams and Narelle White and whoever can't make the plays. It's not to say they never will do it. But in Ole Miss's system, in Lane Kiffin's program, it's become very clear that if you can do it, I mean, you look a couple years back, Ben, Quinshon Judkins, true freshman running back, SEC, get out there, go do it. They trusted him. Knew the playbook. Could, you know, that's a big thing with running backs, Ben, pass protection. If the coaches can't trust you to protect the quarterback, you're not playing because, spoiler alert, it's a quarterback league, it's a quarterback game, and if your quarterback can't stay healthy, you're not going to, you know, if you can't protect the quarterback, you're not going to play. So I think that's the big thing is just the trust is big, and you gotta be able to, you know, be trusted by the coaches and by your teammates to make plays. So I think that's big where a lot of times these guys, you know, they don't know the playbook. They don't know the scheme. They don't know how to read things. Caden Lee, great example. Dude came in, worked his ass off, learned the playbook. They could trust him. And I think a lot of kudos goes to George McDonald in year one, being able to develop him and get him out there. Because look, when Trey Harris went down, you know, we can fold Juice Wells into this too. I'm a big believer. I'll die on the hill that Juice Wells was not utilized properly, in my opinion. I think Ole Miss was trying to make him into something that he's not because of the Trey Harris injury. But with that, you get a guy like Caden Lee. Dude stepped up and was really damn good. So, yeah, I think it's a little bit of both. It's a little bit of just the philosophy and the style of Kiffin and how he, you know, operates inside the program and how he decides who gets to play and who they recruit and who they want to get in the portal. And then it's a little bit of, you know, just the high school level. I mean, it's not easy to come in and learn at the college level as a 17-year-old, but then when you're that far behind or you're just learning from square one, like I said, it's tough. So I think there's a little bit of blame on both sides here.
Protecting homes and businesses from the whims of nature, you need more than just quality materials. You require Riverland Roofing. Licensed, insured, and certified, Riverland Roofing offers not only the assurance of excellence, but a tailored approach to your unique structural needs and budget. To learn more about what Riverland Roofing can do for you and the community, call them at 662-644-4297 or visit riverlandroofing.com.
This is Cali. With ceasefires blazing fast nationwide 5G network, she's got her fans in the palm of her hands. Live streaming her Mississippi Blues from her phone wherever she is. Out there, wherever they are. Right now, get the latest 5G phone on us. Only at CSpire, customer inspired.
Everything is better on a boat, and your vacation is no exception. This year, experience the world's most beautiful destinations aboard your own private yacht charter with The Moorings. Our fleet of modern custom-designed yachts is just one reason we were recently voted Best Caribbean Yacht Charter Company by readers of Caribbean Journal. So when you next explore the Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, or elsewhere, don't accept anything less than The Moorings. Your vacation time is precious, so make the most of your freedom on the water. Book your perfect charter at moorings.com. Nothing less than The Moorings.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I wouldn't disagree with that. I will say I do think there's some legitimacy too. When you get on Lane Kiffin's not bad side, but if you're not one of his dudes, if he treats it very much like the NFL does, show me what you can do. And when given your opportunity, if you don't, you become a forgotten man. You have such a steep hill to climb to get back to that place of consideration. So Aiden Williams, when you get your run, if you don't go out there and show something, Lane's just like, oh, well, he's not a dude. It's hard to get out of, I don't want to say his doghouse, but you've seen this with guys like Ulysses Bentley, with Preston Cushman, with even more high-profile players that actually did something. Caleb Warren's a good example. Jeremy James is a good example. And I'm not saying it's just Lane's considerations. It's not just Lane making the personnel decisions here. But there is some legitimacy, I think, too. Once you fall out of favor, it's hard to get back into Lane Kiffin's favor and get back on the field because it is such a truncated now time frame for schools and players and coaches to, one, compete, and two, to make personnel decisions, because it is very much year to year. You get behind if you are waiting on somebody in year three who hasn't done something in year one or two that can really help you win games. And there's no patience anymore for the developmental trash, especially at wide receiver, which I think Lane believes he can put any number of guys in and make them good wide receivers. That's a position that he is very familiar with, that he understands exactly what he wants. And if he deems very early on that you're not providing anything that he's looking for, it's hard to come out of that. It's hard to get back into favor and become a dude. Once you get your run like a Caden Lee, what are you doing with it? So I think that's really the crux for me of the issue of highly ranked wide receivers coming in. But it does, in my opinion, inform how we should view even Caleb Cunningham, Samari Reed, Dylan Alfred, Winston Watkins. I can't look at any of those guys and say, because look, Aiden Williams was a top 80 player, fringe five-star, four-star coming out of high school. Dante Moncrief's old stomping grounds, even has Dante still saying, hey, this guy's a dude. He's going to be somebody. Somebody give him a chance. He's going to end up at a good spot. I've heard Auburn has shown interest in him. Mississippi State obviously is interested in him. Aiden's got to go somewhere where he can play, but the fact that he didn't play here leads you then to say, well, yes, Caleb Cunningham, I know what the recruiting pedigree is. I know what is expected out of a guy like that, but at Ole Miss, there is some pause. I can't count on him. Right now, I'm looking at the room, and I'm counting on Dazon Stribling, because it's proven production. Caden Lee, because it's proven production. Not even Caleb Odom. There is a lot of volatility to how Ole Miss is building out its roster this year, because in 2025-26, they still expect to have an 8.5 win over under set floor for wins. You expect them, if all goes well, to end up in the college football playoff discussion. It's not so much of a sure thing. This is not going out into the portal like last year and just getting pieces to finalize a title contender. There's no Walter Nolan or Princely Umanmielen or even Jackson Dart walking in that is the difference maker, that one difference maker that takes you from good to great, from non-playoff or playoff fringe to the playoff, not with this team. Now, the upside is still a playoff team across the board. Austin Simmons, what he could be. But they're building it out like that at every position. A team that can grow together, that has that upside, but also there is going to be more volatility because you're taking more risks against proven production that you saw last year in the portal. They were going to find pieces to add the finishing touches to what they thought was going to be a title contender and should have been based off of what we saw. Ole Miss shouldn't have lost three games. They lost three games by a combined 13 points. They are the number one in the country still as far as least amount of time trailing in games. It's brutal that that team didn't make the playoff. They should have been in the playoff. And this team will expect to contend for the playoff as well, especially when you consider that Austin Simmons is the handpicked quarterback of Lane Kiffin's Ole Miss tenure. Even more so, Matt Corral he inherited. Jackson Dart was one of his fourth or fifth options that year in the portal. They considered Dylan Gabriel. They considered Cam Ward. They considered any number. Caleb Williams, they talked to him on a phone call. They wanted Caleb Williams. Jackson Dart ended up coming to Ole Miss and becoming one of the most accomplished Ole Miss Rebels ever, but it took some growing. It took some a roster growing together. Jared Ivey came in and didn't become Jared Ivey overnight. Same with a number of different players they brought in from the portal, J.J. Pegues. They only might win 8 games next year. They might only win 9 games next year. 9-3, though, will look different for this team than for the team that just finished and didn't make the playoff, because that team, the argument of don't leave us out, will carry more water because, you know, if they lose to Kentucky by 3, well, they don't have the same type of expectations across the board. Anyway, point is, the expectation's the same, but the volatility and what it could be has to be recognized for how, like, there's going to be far more ups and downs. This was a sure thing kind of team. You knew exactly what was going in, what needed to happen. They lost because of their own problems. This year, you don't know where the problem areas are because any number of areas could be problem areas. Deshaun Womack and Princely Umanmielen replacing Jared Ivey and Princely Umanmielen. Those two guys are already NFL players. These two guys are more theoretical, even though Prince Will does have production on his side. And so for me, at wide receiver, with Aiden and Narrell, Narrell was a surprise, more of a surprise than Aiden. Aiden was expected. But I don't even factor in the high school players because the track record is now 5 years old, right? You can't consider what Caleb Cunningham could be in year one because Aiden Williams was essentially the same player coming from the same area. He was a Mississippi, top-ranked kid. For me, when you look at what they got to get done the rest of the way, they have to add another wide receiver. Taylen Reed from West Virginia, any number of players that they might be considering or bringing in for visits, that is a position where they have to continue to add because there aren't – name me the sure things right now, Zach, on offense. The sure things. The things we know to be true. Caden Lee is good. Give me another one.
Daquan Wright.
Daquan Wright. Maybe Diego Pounds. Maybe.
Yeah. I like I think Austin Simmons. I know we hadn't seen much, but
– I do too.
Look at how Ole Miss treated quarterback recruiting in 2025.
Yeah.
That right there should show you how much the staff believes in him.
But he's going to have his going to take his lumps. He's going to have his growing pains, as is the rest of the roster that doesn't have that you-know-what-they-are component to them. So the expectations don't change. Ole Miss is expecting to compete for the 12-team playoff as early as next year. There is no resetting. It is purely reloading. Ole Miss has won 10 games in 3 out of the last 4 years. That has never happened before. It's unprecedented. And what it tells you is this is a program that's earned the benefit of the doubt, but we have to recognize that this is going to be more volatile, this team, more volatile as far as results than last year's team, which was only volatile off of their own individual, I would say, incompetence in certain games. That team had no business losing 3 games. If next year they lose 3 games, I don't think Ole Miss fans are going to be disappointed. It's just going to set up for then the next year, 26-27, to be the exact same kind of expectations year as this year because this roster is growing together. But what else is left then after I did my long developmental conversation about wide receivers? I got that off the chest. I'm done with it. I'm not going to keep questioning it like I did Ulysses Bentley's usage all year. I'm not going to talk about developing wide receivers. Maybe Cunningham comes in and does what Aiden Williams and Jeremiah Dillon and Larry Simmons and all those other in-state 4- to 5-star kids didn't do. But what is left? One for me is obvious, and that's cornerback. They have to get another one. They got Cooley, Tamarcus Cooley, on campus, or at least did starting Sunday. I think he left Monday. The NC State transfer cornerback, similar profile to Trey Amos, nickel corner at NC State, has a like really emerged about week 5, has some upside projectability to him. But what else? What else do they need to get done? Because I know that offensive line is never a done thing for them. They got to add some more offensive linemen too. Running back, I think the conversation for running back, we've been treating it wrong. Kewon Lacy has been their handpicked guy for 2 years. I don't care what he did at Missouri. They said, we got to have him, and they were willing to sacrifice other players that they really valued in the portal to make sure they had him in the boat. I think he's their breakout candidate for this class, not even Caleb Odom. I think it's Kewon Lacy to go with Shekhi Mills-Knight. Logan Diggs did some things in the Gator Bowl. I don't think running back is quite the pressing need as we like to make it out to be. They have their hand-picked guys now. They've cleaned out. They've trimmed the fat of the room. It's no more, well, Quinshon, the running backs are the most invaluable position. You can get any number of guys and replace the production. That is not true. They proved that in trying to replace Quinshon with any number of players, including Micah Davis, who is not a running back and is also in the portal. Ulysses Bentley was a step slow. I think this room has more upside for what it could be compared to even last year with the highest graded returning running back in the SEC in Bentley and Henry Parrish, an accomplished transfer from Miami. This group has more upside, as does Austin Simmons and what he could be later on down the line comparatively to Jackson Dart. The upside of this team, I think I prefer to even last year's team only because last year's warts, we knew what they were. This one, the sky is the limit. It could be whatever you want it to be. The world is your oyster. It's all theoretical, but it's not based off of, oh, well, let's hope that so-and-so steps up and makes a play. These are all accomplished players with accomplished pedigrees. There's just going to be more volatility. They got more to get done. For me, cornerback's number one, offensive line number two. What else?
Yeah, cornerback is a big one. They're talking to and hosting plenty. News was pouring in last night. I was staying busy. You got you mentioned Demarcus Cooley. They also got his teammate Brandon Cisse in for a visit. Another NC State defensive back. They also brought in Kapina Gushkin from Washington State. He came in for a visit over the weekend. Ole Miss offered him. I did a piece on him last night, and I made the comp. Kind of reminds me of like a Jake Springer, the safety from Navy that played for Ole Miss a couple years ago.
I love Jake Springer, man.
Yeah, he was awesome.
We can't forget guys like that that only played a year that we were so high on for a year.
Yeah,
that's gonna start happening. We're gonna forget names like Jake Springer. We can't forget these guys, man. They were Rebels. He was a great Rebel.
Yeah, he was one of those when he wasn't playing, you could tell. Like the defense, the defense had a little bit, you know, a tick or two higher, you know, in the juice category when he was on the field. Gushkin kind of reminds me of him a little bit. 6 foot, 185. Has no issue coming up line of scrimmage, making plays. His Pro Football Focus grades were solid, like above 70 in coverage and right around 70 for defensive grade. He was offered. I don't know where Ole Miss stands with him. He hasn't really said much. I've reached out to him, but made a lot of tackles at Wazoo, and he's looking for a place to call home in 2025. But, yeah, I mean, you've got Trey Amos, John Saunders, Jaden Kennedy, Trey Washington. They're all gone. So you gotta reload the secondary. They got Jalen Braxton. They got Antonio Kite. So they're looking to add more pieces to that back end.
They got Sage Ryan. They like TJ Banks. They think TJ Banks could be an absolute stud. You saw a little bit of TJ Banks, the second year corner, in the Gator Bowl. Nick Cole, a little bit of him too. But yeah, they need more. I could see them adding 3 to 4 more defensive backs.
Yeah, big one last night. On Three's Hayes Fawcett reported that Thaddeus Dixon from Washington is down to 4 schools. Ole Miss is one of them. And that's a real dude. Like, that's a guy that could come in and be your Trey Amos for next season. Played on that national championship runner-up team at Washington. Played a lot this year. A really good, talented cornerback that you could put in a lot of position versatility. So he's someone that could step in and help you right away. I think they're going to continue to plug away at cornerback and at safety. I mean, they're kind of all defensive backs. Like, they're just trying to get talent in that room to piece together and find the right, you know, 4 or 5 to put on the field. And then talking about offensive line, you've got the 3 that they have right now. I don't think people are giving it enough credit. I know Kudus was banged up his last year at Arkansas, but they like him.
But Kudus is the only starter, starter.
The number one interior guy in the portal. Ole Miss got him. Delano Townsend, I think he's the number 11 interior guy. And then they got Wilkins, who's a mammoth, good size. They're gonna put him in the rotation. Earlier this morning, I was told by a source that Southern Cal offensive lineman Emmanuel Pregnan he's in the portal. Ole Miss is working to get a visit lined up with him. He's a top 10 available guy in the portal right now. So
that's what I'm talking about. That's what they need. Offensive, like, for me, you've addressed the positions that are the most fun to talk about. Wide receiver, you still need more, but you're counting on Dejon Stribling to step in for Trey Harris, for Caleb Odom to be the player you thought he's been for 2 years at another wide. I mean, he could essentially be Trey Harris too. Again, and growing with Austin Simmons. That's the beauty of it. Like, the way this roster is laid out is there are very few known commodities on both sides of the ball. Same thing with defense. We know TJ Dottery is going to be something. Theoretically, Cam Franklin's the step-in and start guy for Jared Ivey. Theoretically, William Eccles is the step-in and start guy for Walter Nolan. Sonny P's back. He is a surefire, slam dunk, top 3-round guy. Still got to add some weight, but he's a known commodity. But at corner, they're replacing Trey Amos. They struggled at field corner all year. Jaden Kennedy did a pretty good job of making up for that need. And yes, he still got picked on, but that's because everywhere else was so elite, right? He still ended up, I think, only two back of Trey Amos in pass breakups, and Trey Amos led the country. He had like 13 and a half PBUs or something. So there are a few, it's not just offensively where they have to solve the lack of known commodities problem. Defensively, they're building on upside too. That's why it's more of a lottery ticket year. That's where when you hear people say free shot year, I wouldn't say free shot year, but there is a little bit more grace to there are going to be more ups and downs, that unforeseen ups and downs that you maybe wouldn't have or didn't get with the known roster led by Jackson Dart this year. The reason why they didn't make the playoff or they lost games is because they didn't play their best running back. They forgot that they have two NFL caliber tight ends and sacrificed the middle of the field. I agree with you. Juice Wells' usage was bizarre. He's not a 50-50 contested catch kind of guy. He's a space eater. I said before the year, I expected him to be utilized a lot like Percy Harvin was at Florida, and that is not how he was utilized. They utilized him purely as a contested one-on-one stretch fielder or field stretcher, and it didn't work. It didn't make a lot of sense. I think with here, the experimental angle of it, well, Caleb Odom isn't that, so maybe so-and-so is. You know, maybe DeJon Stribling is this. Caden Lee can play this. And they're going to try more. There's going to be some more creativity. There's some more experimentation coming because of the volatility of the roster. But for me, all the sexy positions that we love to talk about the most are on the back burner, wide receiver, running back, quarterback. I mean, obviously, if Justice Hayes would have come, they'd have committed him, and they're bringing in a number of visiting running backs. But what I'm saying is there are real legitimate, you got to get bodies in the room because the room is depleted, spots like cornerback, still offensive line, linebacker, they've done a good job. Defensive line, they've done a good job. But Ben Bell, the transfer edge from Texas State, they want to add more at edge. They're not done. I think what needs to be the number one takeaway from this edition of Talk of Champions here in the Riverland Roofing Studios, riverlandroofing.com, Riverland Roofing for all your roofing needs, 662-644-4297. I think the most obvious takeaway is we knew that Ole Miss was going to be taking some form of a step back at 25-26. The expectation is not where the step back comes from. The step back comes from how volatile it's going to be potentially with so much new, and you don't have the proven stuff. But Ole Miss has hit what it needs to, really address its most pressing needs. But from here until August, for all of you who are like me, who've had seasonal depression here, from here until August, when you look at the roster and how it's currently laid out, there is still so much work that needs to be done. They need corners. They need safeties. They need offensive linemen. They need another edge. They need some more wide receivers, especially with the developmental issue. And that's just something that needs to be understood. And remember, football, Ole Miss football is gone for the next 5 to 6 months. Trust me, Zach and I are right there with you. We're like, oh, God, another 6 months without Ole Miss football. But just like the NFL, Ole Miss football is a now everyday thing. Not to mention, thankfully, Ole Miss basketball is continuing for the NCAA tournament. And Ole Miss baseball is going to look to get off the schneid. That's like the fourth time I've said schneid today. After two back-to-back losing seasons, Judd Udemark is doing a podcast for us. Caden Lee's supposed to do a podcast for us. But football every single day is going to be a thing. And you cannot see Ole Miss not finish up its roster building until fall camp in August. So, hey, that gave me some clarity of purpose for 2025. Thank you, Zach, who's one of his children, almost made an appearance on the pod as we wrap up. That's what I needed. I needed some clarity of purpose. There's plenty of stuff to be talking about every single day about Ole Miss football, because it is an everyday thing. And Ole Miss fan, you don't have to worry about it. We'll be here at the Ole Miss Spirit talking about it all day, every day. What's up?
I did forget, speaking of defensive backs, Michael Coates out of Nevada. He will be, I never remember if it's Nevada or Nevada, whatever. He's coming for a visit on Thursday.
He's from like Lewisburg originally or something. Yeah.
That's he's from, he went to Biloxi. I think he's from Decatur.
Decatur.
But yeah, so yeah, he will be in town. I talked to somebody last night that they think Ole Miss has a really good shot there. Good cornerback, play a lot. And then, yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Ben Bell. I forgot about him. He's a quiet guy. He didn't say a lot, doesn't do social media. But, yeah, he's currently in Oxford right now on an OV. So, super he's an interesting one. Like, not super big, but, you know, only about 6'2", but super, super physical and really productive at Texas State. So
projectability and upside. That's the common theme for all of the roster building for next year. It's different.
Yeah, I think it was pass rush grade. I think he had the second best in the country behind Abdul Carter at Penn State, who is a day one NFL guy. So lot to like there. So, you know, Randall Joyner and Pete Golding are going to try to get that one done. I know West Virginia is working him as well. But, yeah, I mean, like I said at the top of the show, Ben, it's we've only just begun with portal stuff. Like, it's going to keep rolling. That's the bridge right there. You mentioned all the months without football.
That's what I needed.
Recruiting and portal is going to get you there. So, yeah, a lot going on. We'll have full coverage of all the comings and goings at the Ole Miss Spirit. So stay locked in with us, and we'll keep that trough nice and full, so you can come and feed every day.
And so much we got coming for you at the Ole Miss Spirit this year. A lot of big things, and that includes even more of an engagement from me in this podcast space with y'all. We're gonna do some watch alongs. We're gonna do some twitching. We're gonna do some everything, man. I'm gonna be more in your face with this every single day, because the response has been what it's been, and I'm thankful for it. But we want you involved in it. We want y'all hitting us up at the Ole Miss Spirit, dropping your questions. We want you involved in the show. Leave me a voice memo, spiritben1@gmail.com. I promise you, we'll put it on the show and we'll talk about what your question is specifically, because y'all have shown that through your response to our shows and our website this year, what y'all want. So we want to give y'all as much of what you want as we possibly can. And that includes more of this, but in an interactive way. The only way we can be interactive with y'all is for y'all to hang out with us, the Ole Miss Spirit, ask us questions, hit us up on Twitter @SpiritBen, @Zach_Barry. Like I said, email me a voice memo, spiritben1@gmail.com. This is the year of the Ole Miss fan as we all get through this next 6 months together, even though thankfully Ole Miss basketball, men's basketball, is looking like a contender. Bouncing back against Memphis was a relief. But football, at the end of the day, runs everything. And thankfully, as we start this new year, football is an everyday thing. So come back and join us on Talk of Champions. My thanks to Riverland Roofing, riverlandroofing.com, 662-644-4297. And if you're the praying type, pray for my friend Billy Landis, who owns Riverland Roofing, and his wife, Scott. They've been going through some stuff. I love them. Great Ole Miss Rebel. Few, if any, are doing more than Billy and Riverland in the name, image, and likeness space for Ole Miss. So support them. Give them your love. But most of all, give them your prayers. God is good. He's Zach Barry. I'll see y'all soon. Thank you, my friend. We'll talk again.
See you, man.
The NFL playoffs are better with FanDuel, because right now, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets. Guaranteed. That's $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. FanDuel, an official sportsbook partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in select states. First online real money wager only. $5 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 7 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.